Time now for sports. We have an NBA champ this week and an NBA contract, and a Kasorin Stamps attempt to make history may be thwarted, and we're going to remember history-making match at Wimbledon. We're joined now by our very own piece of history, Ron Rappaport from Chicago. Ron, thanks for being with
us. Thank you, Scott.
San Antonio Spurs finally won a seventh game. Exciting game, too.
Yeah, let's hear it for the Spurs, Scott, especially for Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili. You know, they played like champions down the stretch, broke up a tight game with some really brilliant basketball.
Yeah.
And you know, Scott, nobody may have been watching this series, and for the first five games, you could hardly blame them. But the last two were great basketball. The Spurs are worthy champions, no question about it.
Yeah. I want to ask you about the National Basketball Association Players Agreement, six-year labor agreement that includes an age limit of 19. A lot of the owners, and for that matter, a lot of union members who are older than 19 were pushing for this. Who really benefits?
Well, it's benefiting the league, Scott. Let the lawsuits begin. I'm going to be fascinated to see which young kid out of high school hires a lawyer and sues first. Look, the NBA is being honest about this. They're not pretending it's imposed this age limit for some social good. You can hardly look at Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, Carmelo Anthony, the others who've made their mark right out of high school, and say they weren't ready. Mm-hmm. What they're saying is they're taking the jobs of older and less expensive, by the way, players. And the colleges aren't real happy either, Scott. Who wants to enroll a high school player if you know you're going to lose him after the first year?
Yeah.
Guys like Lute Olson in Arizona are already saying it's going to make recruiting more complicated, not less.
Yeah. And how do you feel about the argument, you know, they're old enough to fight and die for their country, they're old enough to make millions playing basketball?
Oh, I suppose you can wrap anything in the flag, but I do think, you can argue that any way you like. I do think that the common wisdom that they weren't ready, a lot of these players weren't ready, it's true in some cases, but it hasn't been true in others. And does anybody benefit by one less year of a professional career from guys like players like Bryant and James and the rest.
And we forget sometimes, too. I mean, we talk about they come over from Europe. They have more seasoning. A lot of the players coming from Eastern Europe have been playing professionally since they've been 15 or 16. They've just been playing in Europe, and we haven't seen them.
Yeah. I just think that this is strictly a business decision, and I do give the NBA credit for not trying to pretend that they're trying to protect the tender sensibilities of these younger players.
Speaking of younger players, the LPGA is playing the U.S. Open this weekend at Cherry Hills in Colorado. Annika Sorenstam set out to make history, but she's, I guess, half a dozen strokes off the pace. 15-year-old Michelle Wee is really coming on.
Boy, Scott. I mean, wasn't it only a week or so ago that the players in the LPGA Tour were grousing that she was being allowed in their championship, and now, what is she, two strokes off the lead of the U.S. Open? What's really interesting about this, Scott, is that she's got Michelle Wee, who's 15 and 6 feet and hits the ball at 10, has her sights set on higher standards. She's already been in two men's tournaments, and she's got she's going to be at the John Deere tournament here in Illinois later this summer, and everybody's excited about that. Scott, she's going to compete in the men's Publinks later this summer, and the winner there gets an automatic invitation to the Masters. How would that be?
God, that'd be wonderful. 15-year-old Hawaiian kid.
You think that would cause some attention?
Yeah, oh, boy, I'd love it. Listen, as Wimbledon opens, take us back. It's the 25th anniversary of John McEnroe versus Bjorn Borg.
You know, Scott, how many rain delays, how many times have we seen this match repeated over the years? I was logging on the other day. They're selling a DVD, all 4 hours of it, and I'll bet it's a big seller. You had Bjorn Borg, who'd already won four straight Wimbledon titles, and John McEnroe, who was just beginning to show what he was made of. And if it wasn't the greatest men's singles finals in Wimbledon history, it certainly was among the greatest. McEnroe wins the first set. Borg wins the next two sets. But it was the fourth set, Scott, you know, that's been replayed over and over and over again.
Yeah.
McEnroe escapes five set points, wins an 18-16 tiebreaker. And then Borg finally wins 8-6 in the final set. It was just stunning stuff.
Yeah. Okay, Ron Rappaport in Chicago. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.